You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil, and we are recording minutes after news breaks that Russell Westbrook has been traded, not to the Miami Heat, but to the Houston Rockets of all teams. This is on the heels of reports that Chris Paul wasn't happy in Houston. Of course, Russell Westbrook was on the trade block. The Heat and the Thunder were in communication, could not come to an agreement. Ultimately, the Thunder send Russell Westbrook, with his blessing, to the Rockets to pair up with his former teammate and fellow MVP, James Harden. The details of the trade: the Rockets will send Chris Paul two protected first-round picks in 2024 and 2026 and two pick swaps in 2021 and 2025 to Oklahoma City. Chris Paul goes to the Thunder. Russell Westbrook is in Houston with James Harden. David, let's talk about this from Houston's perspective, because I really like this trade for the Rockets.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, they were fully invested in winning. They've been very, very close, obviously, over the last couple seasons, falling short to a juggernaut Golden State Warriors team, and they felt that even though they tried to kind of deny that there was any tension in that locker room, clearly there was some issue there, and they felt like a move was necessary, and not just to clear up that tension, but to continue that, keeping them in the title contention race. And I think that the trade certainly does that. They gave up a lot. I think those picks were pretty substantial, and certainly in comparison to whatever Miami could have offered, I think a far greater deal. Like, okay, fine, it's a bad contract with Chris Paul, although it's kind of an even swap, and we suspect that Chris Paul isn't long for Oklahoma City, but notwithstanding, you know, Miami's unwillingness to budge on Tyler Hero, Justice Winslow, or Bam Adebayo was probably the final straw, and something that Sam Presti couldn't, you know, he couldn't deal with that specific, limit on any kind of trade package. And Houston, again, made a quick move. Now, we're also hearing that, as you pointed out, Westbrook and Harden had been talking about the potential move. They agreed to it. They'd been pushing for it heavily. And it turned out to be a pretty good move for Oklahoma City. So they got what they wanted. They acquire Chris Paul. We'll see what happens there. But as far as the trade is comparison, I mean, for Houston's sake, I mean, I think that's a great deal, to be honest with you. I think, Look, I know there are issues, you know, but you don't have to worry so much about you know, Westbrook shooting when you have James Harden, when you have PJ Tucker, when you have other three-point shooters on that team. It's not the same situation that would have manifested in Miami with Westbrook dominating the ball. And look, that will be an issue. I mean, it'll be interesting to see who has the ball between Harden.
And he's walking into a situation where Harden is the established, you know, alpha dog, right? He's been there for a long time. I get the sense that Westbrook is walking into that and saying, you know what? This is James Harden's team. I do have that sense. And if that was I know that we basically said on this show for the last week that that could not happen in Miami, and I still stand by that. This is a different thing. He knows James Harden. They played together for years, and he pushed to get back into that pairing. This is more similar to what LeBron and Dwayne Wade did. Now, I don't think the players are of that caliber, but when LeBron and Dwayne Wade decided to come together, it was because they wanted to mix and match their skill sets. And it took them almost a year to figure that out. It was a little clunky at first, and that'll probably be the case in Houston, right? But they want this. They wanted to play together. And James Harden already having that offense built around him, Russell Westbrook can step into that role when James Harden is on the bench. And I know that a lot of people are wondering about this fit because, well, Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni basically encouraged their players to shoot as many threes as possible, and that's Westbrook's problem, is that he shoots too many of them and he's not good at it. Right? That's part of his inefficiency. That said, I think Houston welcomes that inefficiency. I really do. If Russell Westbrook is going to jack up threes anywhere, it might as well be on the Rockets, because they're built that way. They love to jack up threes. They just say, their theory is that, look, just shoot it towards the rim. The worst thing that can happen is you'll miss. The best thing that happens is we get 3 points out of it.
But the bulk of Westbrook's offense is also the mid-range game, and I wonder how much he's going to be willing to curtail that for Mike D'Antoni.
They allowed Chris Paul to do a little bit of that. Also, Chris Paul is one of the greatest mid-range shooters in the history of the game.
Not quite
Russell
the same,
Westbrook
yeah.
is not. Yes, he is. He is great in the volume to which he takes them, not the percentage in which he makes them. That said, a lot of people had questions about how Chris Paul and James Harden would fit. Ultimately, the talent won out. I think Westbrook brings different things to the table that Chris Paul didn't. Most notably, durability. Chris Paul broke down year after year in Houston in the playoffs. The longer the playoffs went on, the more he broke down. And that cost the Rockets probably an NBA Finals trip 2 years ago. Russell Westbrook's one of the most durable superstars in this league. That's not going to be an issue with him, at least for a couple of years. That's not going to be an issue with him. And so if you're Houston, you're really, okay, Chris Paul is a better, like you would admit, Chris Paul is a better fit with these with this Rockets team because he's an efficient shooter than Russell Westbrook is. He's a better fit when he's on the floor, but he is so often not on the floor. He so right. often breaks down, gets injured at the worst possible time. Russell, I'll steal this from our friend Ben. The best ability is availability.
Yeah.
That's at least they will have Westbrook for the long haul. I really like the trade for them. As far as the Thunder goes, our friend Albert Namad, cap expert, tweeted this out. How many first-round picks the Thunder have. I'm just going to read it. Bear with me.
I got tired of reading it halfway through.
Their own pick in 2020. These are only first-rounders, not including second-rounders. Their own pick in 2020, Denver's pick in 2020. Their own pick in 2021, Miami's pick in 2021. Their own pick in 2022, the Clippers pick in 2022, their own pick in 2023, Miami's pick in 2023, their own pick in 2024, the Clippers pick in 2024, Houston's pick in 2024, their own pick in 2025, their own pick in 2026, the Clippers pick in 2026, and Houston's pick in 2026. That's like 100 picks in the next 8 years. That's insane. They are going to... Sam Presti's mouth is watering. I mean... They're probably going to revamp their entire front office to just be college scouts at this point. They have so many freaking picks. And that's not even including all these pick swaps between Houston and the Clippers for their own pick. So if their own pick isn't as good as Houston or LA's, well, then they get the better of those two picks. So as far as drafting, this plan is foolproof in order to get as many good picks as possible. Now, what they do with those picks is a whole different thing, but the last time Presti had these kinds of picks, he ended up with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. I'm not saying that's going to happen again,
right?
But he's also... And they might not be that bad. They might not bottom out to the point that those Sonics and then later Thunder teams bottomed out, but they have so many picks that they can move up. The way we saw Dallas move up for Luka Doncic. Like, if there's a can't-miss prospect, they have the picks to move up and grab that pick. Well, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do.
They could also move those picks for an established superstar. I mean,
yes, I've seen
we're already talking about, you know, Bradley Beal coming to Oklahoma City. Now, I don't see what the appeal would be, but, I mean, they could offer an incredible amount of picks that Washington or other teams with other superstars just couldn't deny. I mean, it's a brilliant move by Presti. They've done what they had to do to move on from... A tough situation there with Paul George and then Russell Westbrook requesting trades. And I think it just worked out really well for that team. So I'm curious to see what happens 5 years down the road. But for now, it looks like they're in a pretty good place. And you know, it's I don't know what else to say because we've been talking so long about not wanting Russell Westbrook on the Heat. I'm kind of confused because I kind of feel a little disappointed. Like it feels almost like. No, it almost feels like he didn't ultimately want to be in Miami, right? And so I understand, like you said, like he can feel a little bit more comfortable having to take a step back for James Harden, a friend and former teammate, rather than Jimmy Butler, who is not as good a player as James Harden, who has only been in Miami for a week, you know, longer than Russell Westbrook. So it wouldn't feel the same way. Like, I don't think he would come in here and automatically be like, oh, no, I've got to demur to Jimmy Butler. There's no established Butler culture in Miami. And so it's a little bit different. But do you feel
let's keep talking about this because I kind of agree with you in a weird way with that disappointment. I think it's anticlimactic. But let's take a quick break and we'll keep talking about this. You're listening to Locked On Heat. For the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. It's an awesome way to get all the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnNBAnet. So I don't know if it's disappointing so much as anticlimactic. You know, I think we thought something here was going to happen, and then it did, but it didn't happen to Miami. And you and I, going back to the only reason we ever really wanted Russell Westbrook, the only thing that kind of got us a little jazzed up about it was the fact that Miami would be really relevant again.
Yeah.
And now it goes back to Miami being kind of relevant, only because of Jimmy Butler. Now, ultimately, I'm okay with that, because it means that the Heat don't have Russell Westbrook. Most notably, they do not have that contract on their books. I think they remain flexible. There is still the plan in place, right? Like, what this means for the Heat is that they will see what Jimmy Butler looks like around Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler Hero. They'll see what the if one of these young guys takes a major leap forward, and I think they expect a major leap forward from Bam Adebayo, not only because he's going to have a lot more minutes now that Whiteside's gone, but because this is his third year, and I think they expect a breakout in that third year.
They do.
And so let's see what that looks like, and then make some decisions down the road. On our last show, we talked about the opportunity cost of trading for Westbrook means you're probably going to have to move all of your assets, which seems to be the case. And Barry Jackson reported Thursday morning that the Heat weren't willing to move those assets. Okay, well, he reported that. The Thunder obviously knew that. They had been talking with Miami, and so they moved over to Houston. Okay? So now Miami still has those assets. They could still go make a move for Bradley Beal if and when he becomes available. I don't expect that to be now. I think that'll be at the trade deadline at the earliest, but more likely probably next summer. That said, the Heat have the picks to go do, or the Heat have the players to go make that happen. But they also have this opportunity between now and February to see how those players fit around Jimmy Butler and decide even if they want to make that trade or just wait until Beal's a free agent in 2021 and try to convince him to come to Miami then.
I wonder if Jimmy, it feels like maybe he can afford to kind of wait a little bit. Like, I think the move for Westbrook, as we've talked before, probably would have raised the ceiling on this team a little bit higher. I wonder if he's okay with kind of a wait-and-see approach. And I'm sure, given his personality and temperament, he probably doesn't see it that way, though. Like, I imagine, you know, again, no clearly established superstar, but he's going to push the guys on this roster to get to another level. And so I wonder if he's okay that they're not necessarily established and that they didn't make this move for Westbrook and that he's okay with the roster as currently comprised.
Now, I think he has to be because he didn't know Westbrook was going to become available when he signed with Miami. He signed with Miami knowing that
we saw the scuttle about Bradley Beal like almost immediately after he signed. And maybe that was all overstated. Maybe that was just a pipe dream that never could come to the truth. But it's you wonder whether or not. You know, one of the things that stuck with me ever since Tyler Hero was drafted was that Miami seemed to have a clear plan that we couldn't quite figure out. Like, the Hero selection was the first domino, I think, to fall, the first domino to go in the basket, because we couldn't quite see what was happening here. Like, you know, there were other...
Right, it was the first public domino, but they knew when they drafted Tyler Hero that they were getting Jimmy Butler. They knew
that. Yeah, they seemed to be invested in that scenario, which we didn't think was a realistic possibility. So it made sense to get a guy like Hero, who's a good off-ball shooter, et cetera. Now, all of a sudden, they start to follow up and acquire a secondary star. The first one that becomes available is Russell Westbrook, and they go after him as heavily as they could. So I wonder if the plan all along has been for, you know, to acquire another star. And so I wonder...
I think it is. I know, I think it has been. But I think that the plan was to go get Bradley Beal. I think the plan had always been to go get Beal. But I also think that they knew that the Wizards didn't have a general manager to work with, and that Beal wasn't getting traded this summer. I think they knew that. And I think
from that perspective, Jimmy would be a little bit more patient and willing to kind of wait out the year and see what happens.
And Jimmy decided not to go sign with Kawhi on the Clippers,
or the Rockets,
He could have forced a sign and trade similar to how he did it to Miami to Houston. I mean, I think he is looking forward to being the man for a few months until Beal becomes available, until the Wizards open the phone lines. And that's going to happen. We know that that's going to happen. Everybody on the planet knows it's going to happen, except for the Wizards, apparently. It's going to happen. The Heat like Bradley Beal. That's been reported. Everybody knows this. It's just to me, he's going to be a free agent in 2021. If Jimmy Butler and you've got other complementary pieces like Winslow and Bam and Hero who are entering their primes by that summer, the Heat could realistically have the inside track on Bradley Beal, or they can make some moves beforehand and just trade for him outright. So that, to me, if we're talking about where the Heat go now, they go into the season with Jimmy Butler as your alpha dog, as your superstar player. He's a top 12 player in this league, something the Heat have not had in since Chris Bosh went down with blood clots. The Heat haven't had that, and now they do. And they'll see what they look like with that now, with this supporting cast that we always thought would be better, would be propped up if they were given a superstar to play around. Now they have that. Let's see what Deion Waiters looks like. Let's see what James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk look like in this role. Let's see Justice Winslow and Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo blossom right before our eyes. Let's see that and then figure out what to do next. And I think that's always been the plan. The Russell Westbrook thing threw a wrench in that plan. It was a little enticing, and you don't blame the Heat for exploring that, but you got to take your hat off to the Heat for not giving up too much and just, you know, getting too wide-eyed for this thing and just overpaying for it. Because Zach Lowe just tweeted this. He's like, the Thunder got back way more assets than he ever thought anybody could get for Russell Westbrook. And I think that the Heat agreed with that basic sentiment, that they didn't want to give up too many assets. So hat off to the Heat. I thought they did the right thing here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's going to be something that's lost in there. And I know... You know, I know, unfortunately, a lot of our more vocal critics, the people who have been really pushing for this trade, are probably going to look at it as a disappointment or another indication that Riley's washed, et cetera, et cetera. But they drew a line and they stuck to it. Something that, I mean, they've done that two summers in a row now, because they did it last year when they potentially could have acquired Jimmy Butler from Minnesota, and they weren't willing to budge. And they did the same thing this year, too. So, you know, there's something to be said about a team that's willing to make the move, but also not willing to give up too much in order to make that move.
Some of the best trades in the league are the trades that aren't done, right? So, like, the best decisions in this league are the trades that they don't do. In this case, I think this is going to be a good not trade for Miami, given the fact that they would have had to give up assets to do it. They would have had to do it. Look at what Houston offered. They would have had to trump that somehow. And the only way they could have trumped it was with probably two young players and protections off of their picks. Thank God they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if they had, because not only do you end up with Russell Westbrook in a hard ceiling now, but you also are operating with no cap space in the future, in the foreseeable future. You're out on the Bradley Beal in 2021, and you have no assets to make trades in the future. So this would have been that would have been it. And I think always back to the Warriors, who could have traded Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. And Kevin Love was considered a top five player at that point. And the Warriors held on to the young player. People would have said he was top five, but top 10, whatever. Klay Thompson wasn't even close, right? Klay Thompson was just a nice young player. Klay Thompson was basically Bam Adebayo, Justice Winslow at that point. So
that's a great point.
They hold on to him, and Klay Thompson ends up blossoming to this perfect co-star next to Steph Curry, right? And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen in Miami, but the Warriors would not have won the championships that they did had they made that trade. It was one of the best non-trades in NBA history. So let's take a quick break, because after everything we just said about Miami being patient and confident and sticking to their plan, maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Speaking of archived episodes, David, I think every episode we've done this week has been about Russell Westbrook, and it's fitting that our Friday show here comes to a close as the Russell Westbrook saga opened on Sunday. It closes late Thursday night. It's just it was a whole week of Russell Westbrook.
Perfect cycle, I think.
Now we shift our attention to Chris Paul, because as good of a trade as that was for both Houston and Oklahoma City, Chris Paul ends up on the Thunder, a team that is rebuilding in the post-Westbrook-Paul George era. Shai Gilgeus-Alexander is the
de facto
stud rookie that they're building around, I guess. And he's really good. He's going to be really good. And you don't necessarily want Chris Paul playing over him. And I think that they could play together, but that doesn't fit the window. And look, Chris Paul probably doesn't want to play on the Thunder right now. Chris Paul has reportedly been very angry that he has not been able to win a championship. He's not going to do that on this Thunder team. All right? Chris Paul and Danilo Gallinari is not the tandem that's winning the West. but you can imagine, and Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski are already reporting this, that Presti has worked with people like Carmelo Anthony in the past to try to find a good location for him. Mm-hmm. It didn't necessarily work out for Carmelo because he was washed. Chris Paul is not yet washed. He can still contribute to a contending team. I wonder if there's a contending team out there that is willing to take Chris Paul, and we're already hearing scuttle, not reports, just Twitter scuttle, that the Heat should be calling the Thunder for Chris Paul. Should they call the Thunder about Chris Paul, David?
No. I know I had said earlier that Paul was a better fit than Russell Westbrook, and I maintain that's still the case. Like, I think the player that Chris Paul is, even at 34 and you know, 4 years older than Westbrook, or 3.5 years older than Westbrook, I think he's still, even given his lack of availability and everything else, you know, he plays defense at a high level still. He can shoot from the perimeter. He can shoot for the mid-range, as you said earlier. He's still a good playmaker for others. He's still capable. He doesn't have that elite burst. He can't get to the rim as easily as he once did, but he's still a pretty good guard altogether. But getting paid $44 million in the 2021 season, you know, when he's close to 40 years old, that's a little hard to swallow.
Yeah, Houston had to get off of the rights to four different first-round picks and Chris Paul, or to get off of Chris Paul and to get Russell Westbrook. I mean, Chris Paul is... We ranked the most untradeable contracts in the league.
Yes.
Chris Paul is up there with Westbrook and John Wall. He's by far the number one. but Russell Westbrook, Andrew Wiggins, Chris Paul's right up there because he's going to be so old in that last year and because he's going to be making so much. And it kind of is back to what we were just talking about. Don't move the Thunder are in draft pick acquisition mode. When they move Chris Paul, they are going to get draft picks back. That's what they want. I don't even think they necessarily want young players who are ready to, like, Justice Winslow is almost too far along in his development for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tyler Hero, I don't think is enough to quite get it done for them. Bam Adebayo, probably, but the Heat aren't moving off of him. We've already seen that. So I don't know what the Heat would even have. They could do the whole expiring contracts, take smaller contracts that are going to be easier for you to trade and move and get off of in the future, and take the protections off those picks that we were just talking about with the Thunder. You could do that. I think that they showed enough patience and enough wherewithal not to get caught up in this and stick to their guns here. I just don't see them making the Chris Paul trade. Let's look around the league and see where we do think Chris Paul could go, because it's really interesting. And I really don't think, but before we move on from Miami, do you think that Miami does it, or do you like me believe that they're not going to make the Chris Paul move?
I think they'll ask. I think they'll ask at what their price tag would be.
Okay.
And I think that they'll, if Sam Presti, as we expect, is willing to move Chris Paul, I think Miami will listen to what that price tag is and offer significantly less than what they were willing to offer Russell Westbrook.
Okay. So and no, think, none of the young players.
Right, none of the young players, and like I mentioned to you before we started recording, I think if Presti was to throw in one of that trove of picks, one that maybe he expects won't have as much value, to pair with Chris Paul, so Chris Paul and another future first for Miami, in exchange for Miami's, you know, expiring contracts, I think Miami would take that deal. I think they would, and I think it's because it's a win now kind of mode, because now all of a sudden you've got Miami's young players, you've got Jimmy Butler at his peak. You've got Chris Paul still able to contribute, and they have faith in their coaching and their training staff to keep him healthy, etc. They've already done this with Dwayne Wade. They know what it's like to see an aging player.
I'm glad you bring up Dwayne Wade, because Chris Paul's a Dwayne Wade guy.
Oh, he is.
Just like Jimmy Butler was.
He is.
Is.
I'm sure these guys have hung out at some point.
Yeah. And if these reports that Sam Presti is trying to do good by Chris Paul, just like he did with Melo, maybe Chris Paul wants to go to Miami. It wouldn't surprise me if Chris Paul wanted to go to Miami. Yeah, he absolutely wants to go to Miami. We know this.
You know
100% he wants to go to Miami.
You know what's next, too? Carmelo Anthony off the bench.
Yeah, sure. Great.
Perfect. Now you're getting...
I'd rather have Russell.
You're falling into full depression.
All right, so maybe the Miami thing happens there. I think, you know what? Yeah, I think it could happen.
Yes, it would.
And I think you're right. I think that they offer even less than they would have ever offered for Russell Westbrook. I think it's going to be Goran Dragic, either smaller or expiring contracts, James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Deion Waiters, Myers Leonard, those kinds of guys. None of the kids, none of the young guys. And you'll see if they take it, I guess. And maybe they do just add another first-round pick to get off of it. Other teams around the league, the Milwaukee Bucks are kind of interesting. Maybe Eric Bledsoe and some other contracts in exchange for Chris Paul. You get Chris Paul next to Giannis. Giannis will be unbothered by Chris Paul's attitude, right? That could be kind of... And I think he'd be a great fit next to Giannis. What do you think about that?
I worry about the leadership issues there. Like, I think Giannis is just starting to kind of find himself as far as an MVP. And you know, clearly, again, this is his team. Chris Paul hasn't always shown the ability to play well with others. So I'm curious to see what that pairing would look like. I don't see it. I think given the moves that they've made, I know that they lost Malcolm Brogdon and everything else, but yeah. I still think that I understand your point. I think they'd be a little interested. I just don't think it would work, to be honest with you.
Orlando. They've got a bunch of young players that they could just move over to the Thunder.
No, he is not an Orlando type guy. And as much as I think the Magic would want to build on the success from this past year, and I know it's all relative, but they did make the playoffs after a long drought, I can't see them investing that kind of money. I don't even know that they'd have the money to acquire Chris Paul. Like, I don't know what they'd be able to move for him. It'd have to be something like Evan Fournier or...
Yeah.
And they don't have...
Evan Fournier and Aaron Gordon or something like that.
Yeah, that seems like a bad decision. Even though they signed, inexplicably, Elfrey Camino, and they still have, you know, Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac and Nikola Vucevic and about 18 other centers and forwards. I don't know what... They have the second most forwards and centers in the league compared to the New York Knicks. But other than that, I don't see Chris Paul, as big a name as he is, and as much as it would probably... It would resonate with the Magic fan base to have another star there for the first time in an eon. I just don't see it happening, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Here's an interesting name.
All right.
Team. Actually, one we know that's not going to happen, Detroit. Ooh. Detroit was involved in the Westbrook thing. They are not going to get involved in the Chris Paul thing.
I think Blake and CP3 not would be a great duo. No, really? I mean, I hear DeAndre Jordan's available.
No, he's not. He's making $10 million a year in Brooklyn. What about San Antonio?
Oh.
Is that crazy?
It is. It is.
Are we sure?
I mean, they've got their guards. They've got their backcourt of the future, right, with Derek White?
Yeah. It's the future. They got their backcourt of the future, but do they have their backcourt of the present? You've got Murray. You've got Derek White. You've got Lonnie Walker. They've got a bunch of guys that they like there. But would they still trade for Chris Paul and just sort of lean in on this? Can you make a trio of Chris Paul, DeMar DeRozan, and LaMarcus Aldridge? The Spurs love mid-range shooters, apparently. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul's a great mid-range shooter, like we just said. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
What about a trade to in exchange for John Wall?
I've heard that. If you can get Wall and Beal in exchange for Chris Paul, I've heard that. Just like we did with the Westbrook thing. All right, I'm done naming other teams.
It's going to happen in Miami.
Let's wrap this thing up.
I can see that pretty clearly. As much as I didn't think... I thought the Westbrook thing was going to happen, too. So I didn't expect Houston to swoop in there. But I could see Miami being very interested players in that. I don't think they're as concerned about the age thing, given, again, their faith in themselves and the ability to make the most out of a player, even at the tail end of their career. I think they love Chris Paul's intensity and drive.
What's Riley's mantra? The most hated team in the league?
Yeah,
that'll do.
No one's gonna like playing against Miami. I'll tell you that much. I mean, between Jimmy Butler, Justice Winslow, and Chris Paul, I mean, that's a pretty good defensive trio. And Bam.
Yeah, and they're all kind of mean on the court. Not Bam.
No, not.
But the other three are. The other three are.
Yeah, they're nasty. They're nasty defenders.
And. Well, you can't escape the Dwayne Wade connection either.
No.
And that's what is kind of sticking in my mind right now. Dwayne Wade's the reason Jimmy Butler is in Miami. Could be also the reason why Chris Paul is in Miami. We'll see. I don't know. That's it for this week. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We didn't do a mailbag this week, David, so we'll try to get one in next week. So send those mailbag questions in. Thanks for listening, and thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.